And so you'll want to come here. If you like Southern gospel music, you'll want to be here as we sing to the glory of God on Wednesday night, starting at 7. Is that right, Pastor Jeremy? That's 7 o'clock. So you'll want to be here. It's going to be great. In 1978, there was a strike of the firefighters in London. And it was likely the most successful firefighting team in all of Europe at the time. But it made possible, the strike made it possible for one of the greatest animal rescues of all time. Because the British Army, who were also successful in their own right, they valiantly took the step and plunged forward to step in where the firefighters normally would have. Mind you, the firefighters, again, were successful at fighting fires. The British Army were successful at, well, starting them. I don't know. On January 14th, they were called out by an elderly lady in South London to retrieve her cat, which had become trapped in a tree. And so the British Army all converged on this tree, and they arrived, and with impressive haste, as the army does, jumped out of the vehicle and soon discharged to their duty. They climbed up this tree, and they got the wonderful little cat out of the tree. The lady was so impressed. Now, normally, you see, if it was the firefighters, they would jump back onto the vehicle, and away they'd go back to the unit. But this was the British Army. The British Army loved having tea, and so the lady invited them all in for tea, and so they came in and sat around her place and had tea with this lovely lady. When they were done, they, of course, fond farewells. I mean, they came to appreciate this lady. I mean, they had tea together, so they gave big hugs. They got into their truck, and they drove away, but they ran over the cat and killed it. See, we should stick what we're good at, right? See, that's not success. What is success? What does success look like? Most people have kind of a vague picture of what it means to be a successful person. And often I came across this. Often we're like this. It goes something like this. The wealth of Bill Gates, the physique of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the intelligence of Albert Einstein, the athletic ability of Michael Jordan, the business power of Donald Trump, the social grace and poise of Princess Diana, the imagination of Walt Disney, the heart of Mother Teresa. And somebody added this. Now that's what I would call some pastor. That sounds absurd. But it's closer to the truth than we would like to admit. Because many of us, we picture success as looking like someone else. We are like the British Army pretending to be firefighters. We especially can't be eight other people, let alone somebody else. If you try to become just like even like one of these other people, you wouldn't be a success in this life. You would be a bad imitation of them, just like the British Army and the firefighters. You would eliminate the possibility of becoming the person that you were meant to be. So we need to develop a successful attitude. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, because to develop a successful attitude, you need to think change. So I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, because we're going to get to that a little bit. But you got to think change. If you want to have a successful attitude, you got to think change. You see, what you think about affects your life. Did you hear me? Just want to check because it's early. What you think about affects your life. It affects who you are daily. I mean, if you want to change your life, you've got to change the way you think. See, you can't be a success and think failure all the time. You can't say, "Well, I'm going to be successful. I want to be successful in this area. I want to be successful at firefighting." And then over here think, "But I certainly can't fight any fires. I'm not good at fighting fires." See, you can't have prosperity and have poverty thinking. You can't have favor with people if you think all the time that people don't like you. I mean, we do that sometimes. Well, they just don't like me. You have no proof of it, but you just think they don't like you. Devil says they don't like you, so you believe they don't like you. You start going, oh, they don't like me. Oh, they don't like me. You know what happens when you start doing that? I can guarantee you, you will start behaving in a way that's going to cause them not to like you. You see, if we think that we're obnoxious to people, then we're going to be obnoxious to them. If we feel that people will reject us all the time, people are going to reject you all the time. You're never going to rise above the level of the way you think. So think change. Dr. John Maxwell says this, when our minds are tattooed with negative thinking, our chances for long-term success diminish. Negative thinking, tattooed. What? How many tattoos do you have this morning? If your thinking doesn't come up higher, your life won't come up higher. And Ephesians 4 proves that, and I just want to develop this a little bit this morning. We're going to look at developing successful attitude as far as Ephesians 4 goes, because it has it. Ephesians 4:22, look what it says there. It says, Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now, I want you to just, basically what that verse is saying, stop doing all the evil things you used to do. And I want to just give you a little test. I want to test you a little bit. Just be patient. I want you to jump to verse 24. Discipline yourself. Jump to verse 24. Don't look at verse 23. Now, I know you want to look at verse 23, but don't do it. Put on, verse 24, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So, well, verse 22 says, stop doing all the evil things you used to do. Verse 24 says, behave in a righteous manner. And any wonderful, God-fearing servants proclaim, I want that. That's how I want to be. That's exactly what I've been looking for. But what's my problem? Why can't I do that? The thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing, and you need to change the way you think. As long as you're here on the planet Earth, the devil is going to do what he can to make you think that you're nothing, that God doesn't love you, and that you can't change. You're always going to have to deal. You're always going to have to stand up and almost fight for whatever the devil is sending your way. You're always going to have to stand up to temptation. Wouldn't it be nice if temptation just went away? That it just wouldn't happen anymore? It'd be wonderful. But Jesus, he didn't say to the disciples, pray that temptation goes away. He said, pray that you come not into temptation. See, the temptation's always going to be there. We just have to pray that we don't get into it. And I tell you, when we're tempted, listen, there's a little aside. This is a bonus material for you this morning. When we're tempted and we give in to the temptation, okay? Doesn't matter what it is. We give in to the temptation. I challenge you to observe your life for the next few days after you give in to temptation. Because you'll notice that your life's different. You seem disturbed, you seem frustrated, you seem depressed, you seem angry. That's the bonus stuff you get when you're tempted and give in. You've opened the door. I don't want that stuff. I don't think you do either. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to be downtrodden. I don't want to be disturbed. I just want to be contented. I only receive contentment when I stand up against the temptation Satan gives. Did you know, believe it or not, we're supposed to be smarter than the devil? You love that, don't you? We have the mind of Christ. He doesn't. We have the wisdom of God available to us. He doesn't. So it's time for us to take a stand, start acting the way God intended for us to act. Now, if nothing else leaves with you today, take that. You know, if you have the mind of Christ, there's nothing more that you need to be successful. So think change. Start by believing. Start by knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, that you're not that old person that you used to be, but you're a new creature. You have the mind of Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you to help you change and rethink and renew your mind. And you believe before you see it. Every day you're changing little by little, glory by glory. Now, isn't that good news? Amen, somewhere? Hello? You can change the way you think. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, the Messiah. Hold thoughts, feelings, purposes of His heart. And I tell you, when you stand up to temptation, you become stronger and stronger and stronger and more like Him. So to develop a successful attitude, you've got to think change, but you also have to think constantly right. Now you can look at verse 23. They were just waiting. I know you were, but you're patient. It's good. Some of you cheated. It's okay. Verse 23, to be made new. In the attitude of your minds. To be made new. In the attitude of your mind. The Amplified puts it this way, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh spiritual mental attitude. I like what it says there. Constantly renewed. Not every once in a while. Oh, I think I'll choose today to, you know, to think right. Constantly. Not one time. I think today, just one time I'm going to think right. No, constantly. Constantly be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Keep a fresh attitude. Put off the old man and change your thinking. Put on the new man. Stop doing the wrong things. Change your thinking constantly, and you'll start doing the right thing. It's time to think constantly right. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. I got to tell you a story. It's a true story, true account. It involves Thomas Edison, the genius behind the microphone. Just think, I wouldn't be talking if it wasn't for him. Don't blame him now that you can hear me. The phonograph he did. The light bulb we get to see because of him in the dark. Storage batteries, talking movies, all those things. Thomas Edison. He invented each one and a thousand more. But he never allowed discouraging results get in the way of what he was doing, what he was purposed to do. And some of you may have heard this story, but it bears repeating. His son, it was a freezing December night in 1914, and his son heard the cry that they all dreaded. It was the word fire through the Edison plant. And spontaneous combustion, when it happened, spontaneous combustion had broke out in the film room, which was the only source of income for Thomas Edison. That's the only thing that he had going for him that could keep him and his family eating. and enable him to continue with his inventions. So fire companies from, it was so bad, fire companies from 8 surrounding towns arrived to the scene, but I got to tell you, the heat was so intense, the water pressure was so low that they had probably the most difficult time of putting this fire out. And what happened was that his son, as everything was being destroyed by fire, the entire plant was going up in flames, his son could not find his dad. He's looking all over. He's, where's my father? Where's my pop? And he thought, okay, either he might be trapped inside there, or else he's just devastated by everything going up in flames, that he's distraught somewhere. I have to get my father. And he's going around going, Father, Father. And he starts saying to the Heavenly Father, bring him along. So where's my dad? Where's my dad? And all of a sudden he sees running across the plant yard Thomas Edison yelling, son! Son! Where's your mother? Go get her, son. Tell her to hurry up and invite her friends, because they'll never see a fire like this again. True. Next morning, before dawn, the fire was barely under control, starting to die out, and Edison called all his employees together, and he said, he announced to all of them, he said, we're rebuilding. Pointing to one guy, he says, you go and you lease all the machine shops that you can in the county. And another guy, he said, you got to go and get a wrecking crane for us, all right? We need to get this cleaned up. And he continued just barking out orders and motivating the rebuilding as the flames were still there, but small. And as he barked out these orders and said, motivating everyone, the very end, oh, by the way, before everybody leaves, does anybody know where we can get some money? See, if you want to be a success, you got to stop making plans for failure. Albert Einstein said, I think for months and years. 99 times the conclusion is false. The 100th time, I am right. Too many times we become discouraged and we give up. And we stop thinking right. Because the devil will make sure that you're discouraged somewhere along the line, so that when you think right, the devil's going to go, wait a minute, you know, wouldn't it have been easier if you didn't think that way? Because he doesn't want you to think right. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be perplexed. He wants you to be depressed. I can't do that. I can't achieve that. There's no way I can even think about doing that. I'll never amount to much. I'll never have anything. You don't want to sit around and think about what you don't have and think about what everybody else can do or what everybody else is involved in or what everybody else gets. If you think right. Constantly think right. Sometimes we just think too much. I mean, think about it. How many of us would just be a whole lot better off if we just thought a little bit less and praise God a whole lot more? But we want to figure everything out. I got to figure this out. Just a minute, let me figure this out before we go on. I got to figure. Bible says we know in part. It's in there for a reason. We know in part. There's going to be a lot of things that you are just going to have to be satisfied not to know. I can't know everything. Doesn't cost you a thing to think right. Do you know that? It's the cheapest thing, because it doesn't cost you. And it takes, actually, I think it takes even less energy to think right, to think positive, than to think negative all the time. I mean, if you say positive things and think positive thoughts, you're going to feel better. And I know, because I go down that road. Well, yeah, you know, I try to go through my life thinking positive thoughts, thinking right. Nothing ever happens to me anyway. At least you're going to feel better. At least you'll have a better attitude. So how many of you see this today and understand what I'm talking about? How do you get from the old man to the new man? You constantly, everybody say constantly. Say it again. Because you know, sometimes we just get lazy from saying and thinking right. Like John M. Eady said, there are some days I practice positive thinking, and other days I'm not positive I am thinking. May as well get something through your head this morning. You're constantly going to have to renew your mind. You're going to have to deal with the lies that the devil comes against you, because he will. Satan will make you feel defeated, perplexed, failure. The lies that the devil puts there, they consume us. And we come along and say, oh, devil's been telling me I'm no good. Devil's been working on me. Devil's been paralyzing for ministry. I can't. Who do you serve? Jesus Christ. And if you surrendered your life to him, then you have the mind of Christ. You have the wisdom of God available to you. You have the authority of Jesus' name at your call. You have so many resources available to you through Christ. You do not have to believe the lies anymore. Amen? It's time to stop it. Quit believing what's not true. See, last week we dealt with our unforgiveness, our resentment, and we dealt with our thoughts, thinking about all the things that have been done to us, and I said it last week, and it bears. Is it good to constantly think about what someone has done to you? I want to give you a hint. The answer is no. We think about what people have done to us, and we think about it. We process it in our mind, and then we start talking about it. And then we wonder, how come I can't get over that? It's because we're constantly thinking about the wrong things. I remember when I was young, which wasn't really too long ago, I remember, it was just like yesterday, I was climbing a fence in my parents' backyard, and I didn't know that you use nails to put a fence together, but my dad had quickly put this piece of fence up behind an old shed, and the reason he did that is so that my much, much, much older brother could practice hammering nails into the fence, But what I didn't know, I mean, I knew my brother was very weak, not as strong as me, but in his weak condition, he didn't hammer the nails all the way into the fence. Did I say he was much older than I? So I made the journey onto this piece of fence, although I was told somewhere along the line, don't climb the fence. But I climbed the fence. And I discovered at that point my brother's nail hammering ability, because I punctured wounds up and down my legs with little pieces of nail that was sticking out of the fence. Ow! Ah. I kept going for the goal, which was to reach the top of the fence. I think it was actually my other brother who tempted me to do this, but I did it. And I did. I had little machete marks from the nails along my legs. And I did what I know best. I cried as I reached the top of the fence, and my mother came, and she addressed my need and poured some ointment, which was just... Oof. And she said, it's going to heal. It will heal. Don't worry. You're not going to die. We don't have to take you to the hospital, and everything's going to be fine. And you rest in bed for the next 4 weeks, and, you know, we'll be okay. Just kidding. A few days later, a scab formed. A scab started forming over all these little nail marks. How many of you know what a scab is? You know what a scab is? Yeah, well, you've all had a scab before. Now, I'm little, and I started picking. Scab, right? Yeah. Okay, now, come on, don't you look so innocent. You guys have done this too. And you know, I'm picking the scab, and I get the scabs off, all these little, well, you know what? It started bleeding. I couldn't believe it. I thought that the scab formed. I was okay. I started bleeding. My mother said, "What did you do?" I picked the scab off. You're not supposed to pick the scab. I know, Mom, but it's fun. Bleeding. That's how it is sometimes with our thinking. We think about it. We think about it. We rehearse it. We constantly, something just, it's just bad stuff to think about. And when you keep reminding yourself, it's like picking a scab off a wound. You can't say, "Oh, Lord, I forgive. Yes, Lord, heal me. I want to forgive. I have my enemies, Lord. I forgive. Forgive." Talked about it last week. Forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. "Oh, Lord, please heal me." And it starts scabbing over. And then we pick the scab by rethinking and rehearsing it all over again. So as soon as someone has hurt you or the temptation in your life comes across you, whatever it is, you're just beginning to get a nice little scab. And then we just pick that scab right off again. And it starts bleeding all over again. And some of you, you're still bleeding over something that happened 10 years ago. And then we say, "And I have the mind of Christ." No, you don't. Am I making myself clear this morning? Is this making some sense? William Shakespeare said, "It's neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so." There's bad stuff in this world. And there's good stuff in this world. I know what Shakespeare was getting at, but there is both. We need to think good. "God, I can't do this anymore. It's just too hard. It's too hard, God. This is, it's just so bad in my life. I can't do it. I can't take this." That's another thing we say. We're in trouble. Defeats you even before you begin. You need to constantly think right. You need to think, "I can do whatever I need to do. Because the Spirit of the living God lives inside of me, and if God told me to do it, I can do it." If God calls you to it, He will call you through it, remember? He will take you through it. See, we set ourselves up for failure when we sit and we think, "Oh, Lord, it's just too hard. I can't do that. Huh? Am I hyperventilating?" And let me tell you, you won't do it. And likewise, you will not live the abundant life that Christ promised you when you feel you just can't take it anymore. Because that's what the enemy is doing. He's just making you think you can't. Don't let the enemy paralyze you and create fear to prevent you from doing what God has for you. Second Corinthians 10, verse 5 calls us to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. The Amplified puts it this way: "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." We lead that thought that the enemy is putting there away. You can do that. Question is, do you want to? Do you truly want to take every thought captive and lead it to Christ? What that says is, I can control every thought I have. And it also tells me I cannot think about something without thinking of Christ. Friends, if I say, "Don't think about a red car." Now stop it right now, okay? Don't think about any red car that I've just said. Okay, quit thinking about the red car. It might be your neighbor's. I don't know. Or it might have been that Corvette that you saw was really nice and red. You thought, what a nice car. Or that convertible red car that you saw. Don't think about it, all right? Just stop thinking about the red car. It's amazing how your thoughts can be turned so quickly. And you wonder sometimes, can the enemy really do that? He can. You have the capacity to think like Christ. You can renew your mind. And I tell you right now that God's Word, the Bible, will help you do just that. If you, this is the source of our thinking. I read a startling statistic that it said 12% of adults who call themselves Christians read the Bible daily. 12%. That's startling. I want you to have a successful, abundant life, and so does God. Start reading, even if it's 3 sentences of the Bible every day. Start reading this. And if you want to know how to do that, just talk to me. Talk to one of the pastors. Talk to a staff person. Talk to Jeff. Talk to us. We want you to have the abundant life. We want to help you get into this. And I'll tell you, what will happen is the enemy is going to say, you don't need it because you're doing okay. But I tell you, you can have even more of an abundant life if you dig into this every day and spend time with God, talking to Him, praying. This is where it's at. If I'm going to constantly think about the right things, I have to know the right thing. It's right in here. And even if you don't feel able, you're like, I'm not a pastor, I didn't go to Bible college, it doesn't matter. This is the Word of God. The living Word of God. And we can't do anything without God's help. Did you know that? We think we can, but there is nothing, even breathing, that we cannot do without God's help. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of all we can do and need to do. But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to not think back to your old self and your old ways. But I want you to think forward and constantly think right of where God is going to take you and begin to obey the Word of God about your thinking. Romans 12:2 explains that we are to renew our mind, take every thought captive. How many occasions does the enemy give us to practice what God tells us to do? Take this thought captive. And how many times do we listen to God? And I believe that if you'll let God help you, He will do a great work inside of you, and your life will be a success. Maybe not in the eyes of the world, but definitely a success in the eyes of God. And you will live the abundant life, and you will enjoy life. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you today, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you if you're willing to say and commit today that I'm going to start changing my thinking. I'm going to think change, and I'm going to constantly think right. And if, now that's a difficult statement to make, but so true and so necessary in our life to have the abundant life. And maybe you want to say today, Lord, I want the abundant life. I want that abundant life today. I want desperately, God, to stop believing the lies that Satan's putting in my mind and start thinking right. Constantly thinking right. I want to change my thinking today, Lord. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask you, if you're willing to commit to that today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and keep them closed, just stand up where you are. Just stand up where you are, saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to commit to this today. I'm going to start thinking right. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. I'm going to start thinking right. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. I'm going to take every thought captive. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Every thought. Father God, let's all stand. Keep your eyes closed. Let's all stand. Father God, we stand in your presence this morning. We know that we know that we know we can have the mind of Christ. And Lord, sometimes that the enemy just despises that, and so he hurls stuff at us, thoughts that are wrong, and we're led down a path, Lord, of temptation. Today, Father, we commit to you. Commit ourselves, surrender ourselves to you. To constantly think right. Lord, we know we can change how we think. We want to thank you, Lord, constantly. So we pray, Father, that we would be glorifying to you in what we say and in what we do. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Worship team, please.